Welcome to this IFRS Foundation podcast. Today we will focus on the discussions during the October meeting of the International Accounting Standards Board and also touch on some of the other key events that have taken place during the past month. The October board meeting took place on the 24th and 25th of October. My name is Matt Tilling and I am the Director of Education here at the IFRS Foundation. I'm together with the Chair of the Board, Hans Hugewurst, and Vice Chair, Sue Lloyd. It's been a busy month, so I thought it may be worth saying a few words about that before we got underway with the technical board discussion. Hans, what have we been up to this month?
Well, yeah, it's been a very busy month with a lot of meetings. First of all, we've had the World Standard Setters meeting at the end of September. More than 100 participants from over 60 countries, truly from all over the world. We have people from Ethiopia, from Bangladesh, and even from war-stricken country Syria. Even their accounting still goes on, and it was good to have them all there. It's an important event for us. The World Standard Setters are our ears and eyes on the ground. We also had a meeting with ASEF, this time only one day, given all the other meetings we have had. ASEF is our formal technical advisory forum, as you know, a group of national standard setters and regional standard setters who were also present at the World Standard Setters meeting. And then more recently, we've had a meeting of the IFRS Advisory Council. That is our biggest advisory group, approximately 50 members, all at a very senior level, core stakeholders such as accounting firms, regulators, investors, standard setters, but also valuers, actuaries, and academics. So really interesting group of people, and they give us more strategic advice or strategic questions. So we have a lot of interesting discussions at the Advisory Council. This time the main topic of discussion was the impact of modern technology on accounting, on the audit profession. I cannot say that we got a very clear direction of travel from the Council, because it's a very complicated issue. For example, what is the impact of all the real-time information that investors are confronted by more and more? Does that make accounting standards superfluous? Well, we don't think so. The more unstructured data, the more it is important that there is a standard that structures those data. Still a lot to chew on and think about in the future, and we're going to devote more resources to that. Finally, we had a meeting with the Capital Market Advisory Committee, a group of investors who always give us very to the point advice on the standard setting that we are working on.
And you've been traveling too.
Yes, the IFRS Foundation had organized a conference in Dubai, where we had a lot of people from all over the Middle East, especially, of course. And one of the issues that we discussed was how to dovetail Islamic finance requirements with the IFRS standards. Some countries, such as Saudi Arabia and Malaysia, think it fits in pretty neatly. Others have more problems. And that's why we have to collect more information on that, and we devoted part of the conference to that issue. And after that, I traveled on to Melbourne, where I had a very good 2 days of meetings with pension funds, with the local standard setter, and with a pretty large group of our constituents, where we discussed the latest developments in our standard setting activities. There was a lot of interest, especially in what should be the role of the ISB in providing broader financial information that is usually captured in the management commentary, the annual report, rather than in the financial statements itself. And most of the constituents there thought that we should play a bit more active role.
Sue, the board session started with an education session on goodwill and impairment.
Yes, the Goodwill and Impairment Research Project. So this is a project that we've set up to analyse some of the issues that were identified from the feedback we got on our post-implementation review of our business combination standard, IFRS 3. And so one of the areas we've been focusing on is working out whether there's ways of improving the impairment testing of goodwill in accordance with IAS 36. And we're really looking at two different aspects, whether we can make the impairment test less complex and less costly for companies to apply, and whether we can make the impairment model more effective in capturing the right amount of impairment losses on a timely basis. So at this board meeting, the staff analysed a few possible approaches to try and fulfil those objectives. And we looked at some approaches that the board had already discussed in previous meetings, but also a new approach that the staff have been working on to address the timeliness point that I mentioned. It's a so-called updated headroom approach for people who want to go and have a look at the papers. And this is an approach that's really aimed at minimising the additional calculations and costs for companies using information that's already available but might help improving this timeliness issue.
And I believe the conversation was quite lively.
Yes, it's always lively on this topic. Some board members really quite liked this new updated headroom approach and thought it was a big improvement on some of the alternatives we'd looked at before. But other board members had at least more reservations and questions. And we've asked the staff to analyse what the additional costs might be for preparers of applying this approach, and also to look more at the question of whether the losses that the model would capture would truly reflect impairment of goodwill that arose from acquisitions, or whether it might in fact capture things like changes in the value of internally generated goodwill or other things. And so the staff are going to address those points at a future meeting. On the second part of the focus that I mentioned, we also looked at some simplifications to the impairment test. And the board didn't show much appetite for the idea of eliminating the mandatory annual quantitative impairment test, but we also discussed some potential improvements to the disclosures about goodwill and impairment. But this wasn't a decision-making meeting, it was an education meeting, so it was really an opportunity for the board to share views and ask lots of questions, and we certainly did both of those things, with the objective of enabling the staff to sort of further develop their thinking. So the next step is that we've asked the staff to bring back really a package of what the improvements as a package might look like, to sort of clearly flag any interdependencies between the different approaches and, you know, how overall we might respond to the feedback we got on the PIR.
Hans, do you think this goodwill issue is going to be a bit of a hot potato going forward?
Well, it has been a hot potato for decades, I believe, because there is not such a clear answer as to how to treat goodwill. Some feel that goodwill is a wasting asset, just like other assets, and that it should be slowly written off over time, and they prefer amortization of goodwill over time. Others feel that whatever you choose about amortization, it's always arbitrary. Investors will probably not look at it and just add it back, so why bother changing the standard in that regard? So there are strong feelings on both sides, and it's not easy for the board to navigate between these two camps.
Sue, do you want to cover the implementation-related discussion?
Yeah, sure. So the board received a brief update on the topics that were discussed at the September Interpretations Committee meeting, where we covered quite a lot of different issues. And also the board gave the staff permission to start drafting the proposed amendments to IAS 8 that we discussed in last month's podcast. And those amendments are really just intended to make it a bit easier for companies to change their accounting policies as a result of agenda decisions that are published by the Interpretations Committee. So I think those proposals will go out sometime in the new year.
And last month we had an education session on business combinations under common control. My favourite acronym, BCUCC. What did the board discuss this month?
Okay, well, this month we were discussing clarifying the exact scope of the project. So what types of transactions are we going to focus on? So we managed to agree on that. And also what was apparent in the discussions was perhaps that sometimes when we think it's already clear what you need to do in group reorganisations for the parts of the transactions that are already covered by IFRS standards, we think it's clear, but it may not be clear to everybody in the world. And so some board members also suggested that the existing requirements for acquisitions and disposals in these situations may not always be well understood. And so maybe we should take an opportunity to think not just about what we should be doing about BCUCC transactions, but also whether there's some educational materials that we should be producing or thinking about to try and explain some of the existing requirements of our existing IFRS standards in these transactions.
There was a short session on the IFRS taxonomy update for our new standard on insurance contracts. Hans, is the update close to being finished?
Yes, it is. By the way, this was the first time that we issued the taxonomy at the same time as the standard. Perhaps that is the reason why, because it's a new standard, that we didn't receive any comments on the taxonomy proposition. Nevertheless, it has been thoroughly reviewed, both internally as well as externally by our IFRS taxonomy consultative group. So we believe, even though we didn't get feedback from the outside world, that it is a good piece of work. Nevertheless, in the future, of course, we really want to encourage more people to comment on proposed taxonomy updates. We have one that is open for comment right now, and we also think that looking at the taxonomy can really help people understand the disclosure requirements of the standards better.
This month was probably the last time the board discussed the definition of a business project, Sue.
That's right. So at this month's board meeting, the board concluded that we are happy with the whole package of the tentative decisions that we've made so far. And I think one piece of good news, given that this relates to IFRS 3, which is a converged standard with the FASB, is that in most occasions we've reached the same decisions as the FASB on their amendments. And so we expect the outcomes of applying the definition as a result of the amendments that we're both making to be similar. Also, I think it's probably good to highlight that the discussion that we had at the September ASAF meeting was really helpful to us in finalising where we've landed on this project, because what was apparent at the ASAF meeting was that the way that we'd been describing the optional and determinative nature of the screening test wasn't actually very clear for people outside the building. And so as a result, the staff have now clarified the description of the test that will be included in those amendments. And so, given that we were happy with the package, we gave the staff permission to start drafting the final amendments, which will become effective in 2020.
Finally, Hans, what's the current status of the conceptual framework project?
Yes, we had a brief discussion in the board meeting about the conceptual framework. As you know, we have already finished the discussions quite a few months ago, and the staff is now in the process of drafting the revised conceptual framework. At this month's board meeting, the staff proposed some minor drafting improvements to address some comments that we received on the draft of the revised conceptual framework. There were some questions about the proposed drafting changes related to the concepts supporting the liability definition, which really needs to be written down very carefully and cautiously. And the staff had some improvements that the board agreed were improvements, so they have been okayed, and the staff can now proceed with the drafting exercise, and we are working to finalize the draft, and we hope to issue the revised conceptual framework in the first quarter of next year.
We have a busy couple of weeks coming up at the ISB. We have our IFRS conference in Canada next week, and a number of the board members and staff will be presenting there. It'll be quite soon after this podcast gets released. The following week we will be having our trustees meeting in Sao Paulo, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that in the next podcast. But that brings us to the end of the October podcast. Thank you, Sue and Hans, and thank you to our listeners. Any feedback on these podcasts, please email communications@ifrs.org. As always, the full summary of the board's discussion and the discussions of the October meeting can be found in the ISB update on the IFRS Foundation's website. Thank you all very much.